Get out of here. Way back. He looks up. There's the cycle. You can put it on the board. Yes.
A single, double, triple, and home run in one game.
And he has hit for the cycle.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Cycle. I'm your host, Pat McGann, and I am excited because we landed a big fish, a huge guest, a Chicago legend, and this all came together very quickly, so we're thrilled that you agreed to sit with us and talk to us a little bit. Charles Peanut Tillman is here. How about that? Peanut, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for doing this.
I've been to a bunch of Sox games, and this is my first time doing the show podcast with you guys, so appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you being here. I know you're throwing out the first pitch tonight.
Well, technically, I'm not throwing out the first pitch. I'm here with the family, and there's a little guy who's going to throw out the first pitch on my behalf through our foundation. So I'm not going to do it. I'm letting somebody else do it.
All right. See?
I've done it once, you know.
Did you get in the zone?
It went over the plate, but it was a little high.
Yeah. Did you play baseball?
I guess you could say that. I played once when I was 10, and I got hit with the ball, and I didn't like it, and I wanted to hit the pitcher. So
you didn't like it in terms of it didn't make you scared of standing in the box, did it?
So I was scared after that. I didn't want to get in the box anymore because I couldn't fight the pitcher. So I was like, yeah, baseball ain't for me.
Any other sports other than football?
Basketball, track, wrestling.
Now, you were born in Chicago, I read, but you moved around a lot.
59th, right there, University of Chicago, yeah.
No
59th
kidding.
In college, yeah.
Yeah, and then how much time do you spend in Chicago before you guys started? Because you grew up in a military family?
Correct, so I think I went to kindergarten here, moved around, went to Germany, came back. I went to sixth grade here.
Oh, yeah?
And then moved again and just came back over the years.
And it was destiny to be
and
drafted.
It was destiny for me to come back.
Chicago Bears.
To the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and you were a fan favorite for so many years. And I know you ended things with the Panthers, but you're a Bear through and through.
Yeah, through and through, 12 years, yeah. I retired a Bear. I made sure that I was going to retire a Bear. But I not to diss Chicago, but I had an amazing time in Carolina for that 1 year. Like, it was really something special. The Carolina Panthers, the city. Two states, one team, North and South Carolina. Like, they welcomed me with open arms, myself and my family. You know, the term down south,
yeah,
the southern hospitality. Like, that's
a real thing.
That's a real thing in the Carolinas, and I'm very appreciative of them for that.
Well, I think you probably would be welcomed anywhere in the NFL. You're respected way beyond Chicago, not only as a great player, but a great man. And why you're here tonight is for that reason, right? Your foundation, the Cornerstone Foundation.
Yeah. Cornerstone Foundation, you know, we partner with the Sox, or they partner with us, and, you know, all of the first 1,000 fans through the gate, they get a Charles Tillman bobblehead. So I'm excited because I've never had a bobblehead.
I've seen the bobblehead.
Even while playing. So
Sox jersey?
Yeah, Sox jersey,
33.
Yeah, so.
And then you're on a football field.
And I'm on a football field. The only difference is the bobblehead has me in the dreads, and I don't have my dreads anymore. So
are you happy with the way it looks? Like, cause, you know, people see bobbleheads and like, oh, that doesn't look like me.
I think it's good. I got to buy. I'm going to have to get a bunch of bobbleheads so I can send them off to my family. But, yeah, I'm excited how it looks.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It does look good. Now, you're here tonight to do that, but I want to talk a little bit about just your time in Chicago, because anyone listening is going to remember not only the peanut punch and the forced fumbles, but just your time here as a Bear and how you became, you know, one of the mainstays and I would say the face of the organization, especially towards the end of your career. Talk about coming up in Chicago after you're drafted and that the special part of the team and that Lovey and you guys.
So being from Chicago and moving around a lot, I was really never a Bears fan. I just liked certain players. I didn't have like a certain team, a specific
like who'd you
team.
Like?
I was a Barry Sanders guy.
Yeah.
Hence, I got the nickname Peanut. I was little, and Barry Sanders was a small guy, and he used to just make dudes miss all the time.
So you got that nickname at what age?
Probably once I came out of the womb.
Really?
Like, literally that quick. My Aunt Renee saw me and goes, he like a little peanut-shaped head, a little peanut, weighed about 5 pounds, and it was just one of them nicknames that just stuck.
Yeah.
As soon as I came out of the womb, Peanut.
Were there other nicknames in the family?
I have an older brother named Duck.
Duck?
Duck. Duck and Peanut.
Duck and Peanut.
That was us. My mom, her name's Tiny.
Yeah.
She's real small, short, very skinny. And my dad was Lil Donald.
No kidding.
Not Little Donald, but
yeah.
Lil Donald. And that was the four of us. That was how we used to ride. Lil Donald, Tiny, Duck and Peanut.
Duck and Peanut. Sounds like a show on Sprouts.
It should
that my
be,
kids
man.
Watch.
Yeah.
You could make
we
that,
definitely
man.
Could make it a show. Definitely could make
have
it a show.
Have just an animated fumbling, forcing. That would be phenomenal. I would watch that. All right, so you come to Chicago in 03, and this is during the Lovey era. And I don't know about
great era.
Anybody, how anyone else feels listening to this, but since Lovey left.
Oh, it's been boo-boo. It's went downhill, yeah. Worst thing they ever did, worst thing Phil Emery ever did was get rid of Lovey Smith.
And that was a feeling throughout the.
That was a feeling throughout the building. That was a feeling throughout the Chicagoland area. That was a feeling for that all Bears fans echoed.
Yeah.
Even today, like talking just to fans when I go out different places, different events, talking, stuff like that. Yeah. Everyone felt that it was. I mean, we went 10-6.
Yeah.
We still had a winning record. And then.
Haven't won 10 games since.
Yeah.
Right?
Been very bad.
What was it about those teams beyond talent that just made things click that you guys were?
Team. We were a team, and we had a great locker room. You know, one of the great things about the NFL, and you could, I mean, with all teams that win championships or teams that go on to the playoffs, I guarantee you those teams have great locker rooms.
Yeah.
And all 53 guys buy into whatever the head coach, the leader is selling. You know, they're all in. And probably one of the hardest things to do, too, is when you're a head coach, you have to manage 53 different personalities. And you have to get 53 grown men to believe what you're saying, to believe that we are good enough to win a championship. I equate that to Charlotte or when I was in Carolina. No one would have bet anything on us other than Carolina Panther fans that we would go 15-1. Hell, yeah, we didn't even believe it. And then, you know, you win a game, and then your coach, Coach Rivera, he's preaching, you know, ape, attitude, preparation, effort. And you hear it over and over and over, and you're just like, you know what? We are good. We can win. We are the better team. We are the best team in the NFL. We can do this. We can beat teams. And we just, you know, start rolling. Next thing you know, we're 13-0.
Yeah.
And before you know it, we're 15-1. Now we're in the Super Bowl. And, I mean, ultimately we lost, but – it was just a belief
system.
And
you're with an ex-Bear at the head of that team as well, right?
Yeah, and it was just a belief system that, you know what, we can beat anybody. And we all bought into what he was selling.
Yeah. The Bear teams that I recall, not only the Super Bowl year, but the year surrounding that with you and Urlacher and Briggs, and who were some of like the personalities on the team that maybe didn't get the ink, they didn't get the pub, but just funny guys on the team or just –
Israel Adonijay was a guy who didn't get enough pub. Mike Brown was a guy who didn't get enough pub.
Brown was great.
Nathan Vasher, Tim Jennings. I mean.
Mike Brown just had some injury issues.
Mike
right?
Towina, Anthony Adams.
Oh, my gosh.
Adewale Ogunle. I mean, I could name our entire defense.
You follow roster. Anthony Adams on Twitter?
I do. We've shot a couple of videos together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very familiar with his style of comedy.
His antics.
All he does is sit all day. All he does is he just makes videos. Like taking his kids to school, he'll make like two or three videos.
Right.
Just like dude. And when you see him, he's all hunched over. And he's got that. He's a fat kid. So he's all hunched over with his big round back, and he just sits there and he just looks at his phone. Scrolling.
That could be another cartoon. Peanut and Spice.
Peanut and Spice. I would, yeah. I'm game to do that.
And he could shoot it, edit it. He knows how to do all that stuff.
And that's the unique thing about, and he's all self-taught.
Yeah.
He's all self-taught.
Who are you in touch with? Are you in touch with some of those guys?
Oh, yeah, all of them, actually.
Yeah. Urlacher.
I was texting with him last week. He was in town.
We had Patrick Manley on as a guest, and he talked about a party that Urlacher had, and he was like, it was just funny, some of the celebs that were there, and just kind of some of the double takes. You ever go to any of those?
I don't think I went to his party.
I've
been to his house many a time, but.
See what we just do here on the cycle? We start feuds. Like, now you call him
up. I don't think I've ever been in one of the. I didn't get that invite.
You didn't get it?
He left me off that list. I don't know.
Who were some of the wild dudes on the team? Because the 85 Bears are the team that's talked about so much, maybe ad nauseum in Chicago. And you guys are probably, I don't know, if you would say it, but I could say it. I mean, you're bigger, stronger, and faster than them. You probably would, probably could beat them. Did you run into those guys at all?
Yeah, we ran into them all the time.
You ever like talk crap to them or?
No, never that, never that. You know, I mean, you can't talk crap to a Super Bowl champion. Like they've
just
done
ingest,
it.
Though I'm
they've
saying.
They've won it. So now if we would have won, if I would have won a Super Bowl, yeah, I could talk trash all day because yeah. I'm a Super Bowl champion too. But until you beat the man or until you get that ring. Hey, man, all I got to do is just listen to these 85 Bears stories. That's all I can do. So I have to just ingest and just listen. You know, as tiring as it may be,
would they come
I can't
by to,
say nothing. I just got to listen to it because they yeah. won, and kudos to them for that. So I can't be jealous. I
would
just
they
gotta,
ever come by to, you know, the White Sox have ex-players come by and they'll mm-hmm. do instructional stuff or come and talk to the team. And do they do that, the Bears organization? Do they have guys come back? And
no. No, I mean, a lot of the 85 Bears that I've seen and met over the years, I've met them just at different charity functions or just different events or just being out in the city and just seeing them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll talk for a minute or two. But, yeah, I've never really gotten any instructions or, you know, I think Gail Sayers came by once. When Trestman in the Trestman era, in the short Trestman era, and I think – No, Mike didn't come. Dick Buckus didn't come. I just remember Gail Sayers coming one time to Hallis Hall.
How do professional athletes respond to that when ex athletes come by the clubhouse or you might have a guest speaker?
I mean, you should respond with open arms.
Yeah.
I mean.
But is everyone into that? Is everyone into a pep talk? Do you respond
to
that?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, I look at those guys and I'm like, yo, these guys are Hall of Fames. This is the guy who was in the NFL when it was still kind of forming and coming up, and they were – I mean, that was when they were still playing in Wrigley Field.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. So, yeah, that was when football was real.
Yeah.
That was when they had real jobs, and then they played football just because – I don't think for the money. It was just something to do, and it was fun.
What do you think about the game right now and where it's at? Do you think it's – you know, I know they have a lot of the health – conversations about concussions and you know it's a brutally violent game. Do you miss it?
I mean, I like where it's going. I don't think anyone is trying to see people have concussions, and you know, like that's not the game, that's not the intent. Obviously we know it's a violent physical game, you know.
Yeah.
That arena, the stadium, that's our Coliseum.
Yeah.
And you know what goes on in the Coliseum. But I think they're taking precautions to help prevent concussions. Now, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but you can't – I mean, you're going to have concussions if you play football at some point in time.
Sure.
Now, some people might be more susceptible to getting them based on positions, you know, maybe linemen, running backs, quarterback. But if you're a punter, DB myself – Hey, man, I couldn't hit hard. I admit that now. Like, I was a screw-up. So
you just take the ball, man.
I just start punching it out just because I knew I couldn't hit hard. Shoulder surgeries and stuff like that. So I try to do something, be different, think outside the box. So.
How do you get yourself fired up for an NFL game, like a Sunday game here in Chicago?
How do you get yourself?
Like, I'm asking you,
you're,
what,
you're
was
in
your,
the NFL.
What was your like, day? What's your Sunday?
Oh, my Sunday
for a home game?
Is – You know, I'm waking up at like 5:30, listening to my little Earl Nightingale tape.
Yeah.
My spoken word by Earl Nightingale. Going over some plays, looking at some film.
So you set your alarm for 5:30 in the morning. What
no,
time,
I just
what
wake
time
up.
Did you go to bed?
It's just 9:30.
9:30,
and I wake up about 5. Between 4:30 and 5:30, just naturally, because you're so.
Do the Bears do a hotel the night before?
Yes, we stay at the Hilton Towers on Balboa, Michigan.
Okay.
And I would do that. I'd go to chapel, walk over to the stadium or drive. And
you would walk sometimes?
I'd walk sometimes, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'd walk because it's only like 2 blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd walk over to the
stadium. Would anyone ever recognize you, bother you? Or not bother you, but interrupt you? Or
No, because no one was really out.
Yeah,
so
pretty early.
I get to the stadium like extra early, get in the hot tub, get taped by my trainer. He puts my contacts in. I go out on the field. Lance and I, we do our little warm-up lap.
He was your guy?
He was my guy. He's my warm-up guy. And, I'd come back in. I'd have a certain guy hide. He'd put my pads on for me, Carl Pikarski. He would put my pads on, and then I'd go out, do my little punches, and Gilbert, DB coach, used to warm me up on the field, and then we would we'd go back in. I'd say my little prayer, use the bathroom one time, you know, I always got the bubble guts because I'm nervous, and then say another little prayer, and then I go out, and it's time to rock and roll.
And is there any stadium like Soldier Field? Bad grass, though.
Yeah.
Bad grass, right?
We got bad grass. I think.
And then they brought in the Sodfather. They brought in Roger Bosser to fix it, right?
I don't know if I played with him while he fixed the turf, but, yeah, I think we could. There's no arguing, but we had the worst stadium as far as grass. But the thing that I got used to, I embraced it.
Yeah.
I embraced the sod coming up in the middle of the field being, like, I embraced it because other teams would come in and they'd be like, man, this field is terrible, man. I knew how to play on it, so.
Yeah.
Although it was terrible, I enjoyed it. I liked it because it was more of a, it became a friend to me. It helped me out. So how do you get prepared for a comedy show? Like, what do you do? Is it?
I get up,
watch,
5,
like,
5:30,
or something like that,
pray, or? Go to chapel. I don't know. I mean, you know what? I don't think about it enough. I don't prepare enough. I think I probably do shows too often. But occasionally if I get myself in a nice place, it's quiet, thinking about what I'm going to do in a sense. Like, have a vague game plan. But sometimes a game plan is just to be open to anything, right? Like, just kind of.
Yeah.
So it's a great.
Make those adjustments.
I love it, how you turn the tables on me.
Yeah.
I wish you're really revealing that I need more of a routine. That's why you're. Another level.
Creatures
of
habit.
In your field, you were the it. You were the Pro Bowl.
I was, yeah.
I haven't gotten the Pro Bowl comedy yet. You weren't the Pro Bowl twice.
We'd be like the kings of comedy, but the Chicago Southside kings of comedy.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I grew up too, Southside.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get that going again. We'll get Spice too. He's a funny man. See if he can do stand-up though.
He's done it once at the Laugh Factory, and I remember we were talking one day, and he goes – I think he enjoyed it, but he was like, it's hard. You know, it's all kind of self-taught and just someone was you should do stand-up. He's like, okay. And he went up there, and he's like, man, yeah. He's like, it's difficult. It's hard. It was his first time, and you make a joke, and no one really gets it, and they laugh, and you're like, oh, man, they don't even get my humor. And then but you got to keep going. But he said it was an experience, but he enjoyed it.
I did a sports night with him once. He was a guest speaker, and I was, like, the entertainment, and I roasted him a little bit. We had fun with him, and he got me back. He was a great sport. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's good off the top of the cuff, the dome, just with joke. That's kind of actually how a locker room is. You know, guys, we just roast each other all day. And if one guy roasts you and you, like, let it get to you.
Yeah.
Be like, you mad now? Hey.
You smell blood.
Hey, he's mad. It's like blood in the water. And
how would you roast? How would you roast Urlacher? Or Briggs.
We used to talk about his hair.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you think about it now? Be nice to have.
I'm
be able to take
I'm
some swings at him now.
I'm getting used to it. No, he used to talk about his head.
Mm-hmm.
He used to talk about him, like, maybe messing up on a play. Just.
Would you guys ever be able to mess with Lovey, like, after a win?
Yeah, he would hear us kind of mock him as far as, like, hey, buddy. You know, his voice. Then he would kind of give you one of them. Give you one of them looks, like, all right, we're good, coach. Now we'll stop now. But yeah, man, the great thing about the NFL locker room is, like, everybody roasted everybody.
Yeah,
and that's what made it so fun.
And you probably spent a lot of time in the locker room.
Oh yeah, I mean, we used to play Foursquare. We played basketball. We played baseball in a locker room one time. Funny story: we played baseball, and all of our captains were playing, and it was like, hey, we got to go. It was like one more pitch, and then I don't know who threw it. I don't know who was even batting, but one of our captains was swinging, and at the end of this bat, or like broomstick handle, had a hook on it, and then we made a ball out of tape, and he hits the ball, but the broom hook comes off, slices into one of our Fred Miller, slices in his leg.
Oh yeah,
he's got like 6 stitches, I'm exaggerating, it's probably like 2 or 3 stitches, you know.
Did he go that day?
No, well, it was on a Saturday, it's like the day before a game. But, yeah, that's just some of the stuff we've done. We used to play dodgeball in our locker room. Like, we got a little carried away with the dodgeball. But, yeah, man, guys were just headshots all day, getting hit in the face. Like, it was just, if you can dodge a ball, you can dodge a wrench.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I mean, Patches of Houlihan, yeah, all day long.
That's great. So what are you up to now? You got your beautiful family here. I know you're a family guy. You got three daughters and a boy, and we wanted to give Tyson a shout out. We told him to give him a shout out.
Come on, Tyson.
Tyson, why don't you come over here? You ask your dad a question.
You're asking for a shout out.
You want to ask your dad a question?
Don't trip on none of this because I can't afford it. I'm not playing.
So you have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and then your baby was not in the room.
Yeah,
she's 4?
Four. Tessa.
Tessa. Hi, Tessa. All right, Tyson, you got a question? You want to? What would you want to know about your dad's football career?
First off, say, how you doing, Sox fans?
How you doing, Sox fans?
Are you a White Sox fan, Tyson? Putting you on the spot.
Yes, you are.
Say yes. Yes, I did say yes.
Good job. So what do you want to know about me playing football? Any question?
No.
No, you can ask a question. That's what I'm asking you. Do you want to know anything about – no, you ask the question. Cause
let me ask Tyson a question. Tell me something funny that your dad does at home.
Sometimes if it's Talia's birthday, he puts the cake out and then he pushes her head inside the cake.
That's awesome. See, he's very physical. He's still physical. He's
still
not
physical.
He's not playing anymore.
Got to get it in somehow.
So he's
got to
get it in. That's fantastic. What is a typical day now for you, Peanut? What are you up to?
Work out at 6:30. Go to my gym. I'm home by 8:15, get the kids ready for school.
Yeah.
Sometimes Tyson will come with me.
Oh, that's
up.
Great. You spot him?
Yeah. Sometimes he does. Or I'm spotting him. I'll get the kids ready for school. I'll drop them off, and then I'll go work out again at like 10. Or like ride. I'm getting in the bike.
You're working out twice a day?
I work out twice a day. Yeah. I'll like ride my bike or something.
Why?
I'll ride a couple. I don't know.
You're just addicted to it?
I'm addicted to it, man. You got to think. I've been working out morning time for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years from high school to college. To
all the more reason to quit.
Yeah.
been doing this for 15 years.
Nothing,
I'm going to chill
like,
now.
It's nothing crazy. It's definitely nothing crazy. I enjoy it, though. I'm like, I bought a Trek bike.
No, good for you.
So
I'm not going to make fun
starting,
of you for
I'm, I don't wear
in
those,
shape.
I'm not one of those guys who wears, like, the tight pants, though, on the Trek bike. Like,
yeah.
I still wear, like, baggy shorts and stuff. Like, I'm still trying to be cool and ride the bike.
Good, good. Thanks,
but, yeah,
man.
That's yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, but before I know it, it's 12. I'll pick her up, and then before I know it, it's 3. And
you keep an eye on a lot of the Chicago sports teams? You watch?
I do.
Yeah.
I try to, man. I'm a Sox fan. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm a Bulls fan. I'm a Blackhawks fan. I'm Sky. I'm a Fire. Just whatever Chicago's doing, I'm a fan. I try to support all Chicago sports teams.
What do you think? That's great, man. What do you think of the Bears' move this year with Trubisky and
you know,
Sam Madicolor?
I think there was a big question mark. On my end, obviously, I haven't studied Trubisky like Mr. Pace, or the Bears GM. I haven't studied him like he has, and hopefully he pays off. But, you know, I'm all about competition. And I know they signed Glennon. But Glennon is a starter, but I don't know. I'm competition.
Did you ever play against Glennon?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But I would – me, if I'm the head coach, I'm making the two compete every day.
Yeah.
I'm making them battle. For it every single day. Competition, it brings out the best in you.
What quarterback did you like facing that you were most confident I'm going to get a pick this game?
Oh, Aaron. I liked going against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Peyton. I've never picked off Peyton. Never.
When you pick somebody off, do you have a chance to say anything to them? Do you talk trash?
No, you know, the one quarterback who really – I wouldn't say talks trash, but it's just more of like respect is Aaron Rodgers. Like he's made some, in my opinion, I don't think Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, but Tom Brady can't make the throws
that
Aaron Rodgers can make.
Yeah.
That Aaron Rodgers makes.
I see that. Yeah,
and I'm like we are in a game, and I saw him like roll to his left. Throw across his body like 50 yards at the pylon, and Jordy Nelson was just running, and the ball finally came. I mean, it was a perfect bullseye, and I'm like, and it didn't count, thank God. I remember going to Aaron, I was like, man, that has to be the sixth throw I've ever seen you make in my life. Like, and this is why we're playing
during
like,
the game.
During the
that.
Game, like
yeah.
It was like a TV timeout. And I was like, what the hell was that? Was amazing, dude. You are unbelievable.
And what
like,
did he say?
You're unbelievable.
Does he say something back?
Yeah, he was like, I appreciate that. No, appreciate that. And, yeah. But he's throwing me a pick once or twice. And then afterwards, he's like, hey, you ain't getting no mo. I'm not doing that again. But, yeah, he's a good quarterback to go against. He makes you stay on your P's and Q's.
Well, I know you picked off plenty of guys. I think you had like close to 40 picks in your career.
I wish I had 40. Close to
38?
38. I just 40 sounds better than close to 40. It's like a roundabout. You got to round that up.
Well, I was going to say 38, but I thought I'd push you up to 40.
I appreciate that. You have a kind heart, sir.
You could sell 40 to the Chicago audience.
Yeah, but I know it's not really 40.
All right, final things on Cornerstone, because I know that's why you're here.
Yeah.
And I know that White Sox are teaming up with you tonight.
Yes, sir.
The bobblehead, and there's pieces
final thing
of
about Cornerstone. Well, you know, my daughter Tiana, she was diagnosed with dilated cardiomyopathy back in 2008. As a result of that, she had to have a heart transplant. My wife and I, we lived in Children's for 4 months, and we got a chance to see what these families go through day in and day out. Firsthand, we saw that. And we have a program called the Tiana Fund. Now, with this Tiana Fund, we give out grants to families for various things. Mm-hmm. And last year, we gave out over $205,000 in grants to families.
Wow.
To help with a variety of different areas, you know, whether it's a mortgage bill, whether it's a wheelchair, whether it's a funeral, just anything. You know, there isn't a foundation out there that can do what we do. There is, but we're very unique in our turnaround time to get these grants out to these families is a day, two at the latest. You know, we're very good. We're connected with these families, and you know, the charity work that we do, our foundation. Yeah, man, it's just using our strength to serve.
And people can go to find out more to Cornerstone.
CharlesTillman.org.
To
find out more information about the Cornerstone Foundation.
Yeah, make sure you get there because, you know, I've admired you from a distance for a long time, not only as a player but as a man off the field. And to see your daughter here today, she's beautiful. She looks fantastic. Your whole family is wonderful. I really appreciate your time, man. I really appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
And I wish you guys all the best. So
thanks.
How fun. What
Go
a treat
Sox.
To have a legend on the cycle, Charles Peanut Tillman. Follow him on Twitter. You're a good follow on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, at Peanut Tillman on Twitter, at Peanut Tillman on Instagram. Check me out on Facebook. Type in
even
Charles
if you're allergic
Tillman.
To peanuts,
yeah,
it's a good Twitter follow.
It is.
Thanks, Charles.
Appreciate it. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Tyson,
you want to say bye?
No.
No?
Wait, bye. Sorry.
Yeah.